Cops is filmed on location with the men and women and children of law enforcement.
I'm Officer Ted Anderson. This is my new partner,
Timmy.
We're responding to a 211 at a local Quick Stop.
Ah, cool. Can I get a Slurpee when we get there?
No!
Aw, you're worse than my dad.
All suspects are innocent until proven guilty, and the cops are adults until proven otherwise.
Stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This station presents Real American Hero.
Real American Hero.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Backdoor Smoking Break Guy.
Mr. Backdoor Smoking Break Guy.
When there's lots of hard work to be done, where can you be found? Out back by the loading dock near the dumpster, giving your lazy butt another butt break.
Welcome to Marlboro Country.
That's right, Mr. Backdoor Smoking Break Guy. Smoke 'em if you got 'em, and you've always got 'em, and you're always smoking 'em.
Hey, boss, I'll be right.
Snow, rain, freezing cold, or sweltering hot, it doesn't matter to you. You're out there every 10 minutes taking a 9-minute break.
When do you get any work done? Yeah.
So the next time you're at the service counter, unable to get any service because no one's at the counter, walk around back, flick your lighter, and raise it in salute to Mr. Backdoor Smokin' Break Guy, a real American hero.
Mr. Backdoor.
Hey, dude, can I bum one? Cool. I mean Winston.
And now it's time for the best morning show on radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, it's Sam and Sherry in the morning. To join the show, dial 323-203-0815 and get in on the fun. And now, here's your morning show hosts, Sam and Sherry.
Good morning and welcome to October 23rd. It's Friday, finally.
Happy Friday!
Yes, TGIF, as they say.
Is that what
or
they say?
Don't they say anymore?
I think they just write it.
Good morning to you, my
Good
dear.
Good morning.
We're both in green again today.
I know, I noticed that.
What is that? And I only have one green clothing.
Well, it sounds like you need to change your wardrobe up a bit. I'm just, for the record, I am in a different green shirt.
Yeah. Aren't you warm in the long sleeve?
No, are you kidding me?
No.
Well, let me tell you how cold it was in my house this morning.
Yeah.
So I keep the window open because my roommate has complained that we are taking advantage of the air conditioning.
Right.
So we need to cut back. I'm like, got it. Mm-hmm. So I keep the window open to get fresh air. Well, her and my other roommate, so my extra roommate for the month, decides that last night it was obviously hot out, and so they put the air conditioning at 65 degrees.
Really?
I have the window wide open, and it's 55 this morning, and I wake up, the back of my throat's hurting. I'm like, why is it fucking freezing?
Wow.
And so in my house, it was really cold, so I dressed warm.
I see.
But it was kind of cool this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't like long sleeve. You know, I try to stay with short sleeve as long as I can.
No, that's why I hate summer.
Yeah.
Because I love winter and fall clothing.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited to go to New York because I have nothing to wear, like nothing.
I know. Well, the thing is, because when I'm thinking of New York, I think of how it's really cold and then you go into the stores and it's really hot inside.
Yeah, that's
you know?
The one problem about New York is like you get all like bundled up and then you go down in the subways and you're sweating your ass off.
Yeah.
And then all this clothing on. You take half of it off and then you got to get up there and back on the streets and put it back on. That really is the annoying part.
I know. And I get irritated when I start sweating. And
you irritated?
Really hot.
Shut up.
Yeah, sometimes.
No
sometimes
way.
It happens to me.
Oh, you seem so jovial.
I can't believe you go to New York, man. I'd give anything to go to New York right now.
Shit,
You're so lucky.
Yeah. I'll be struggling my ass off the week I get back and begging my landlord, please give me another week to pay my rent.
Yeah.
Oh, which reminds me, the girl that left me money, she left me
$50. $50?
Yeah, so it was very nice of her.
What a cheapskate.
She listens to the show.
No. Well, that's 10% of what she made.
Well, I found out that.
But yeah, I mean, look, it is
nice. She didn't
have
to leave me anything.
Exactly.
Nothing.
Exactly.
And I kept thinking, well, it's going to be like $20. Like,
yeah.
But no matter what it was, I mean, that's more than she like tipped out, you know, like busboys and, and bartenders.
Yeah.
And I didn't do anything except go home early.
Yeah.
You know
that's
what I mean?
That's true. That's
so
true.
So it was really generous of her.
Yeah.
But I found out the $500 wasn't what they left her total for the bill. That was an addition to the gratuity that was already included. So that was in addition to the $200 that was already on there. It was an additional $500.
Are you serious?
Uh-huh. Plus the other tables she had.
Wow.
Now you're going to be like, $50? That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I got to be a fucking server.
Well, that doesn't generally happen
no,
now.
Huh?
But so when I went into work last night, it was like a nice way to start my shift, though. It was like to immediately start with $50, and I just walked in the door.
Right.
I was like, I can get used to this.
Yeah. There you go.
Hand me money. So I thought I'd go out last night and celebrate.
Yeah.
Well, I took off tonight from work. My friends, you know, my friend Becky's coming
yes,
in town.
Yes.
And someone asked to work my shift last night, and I was like, yeah, so she thinks I'm working tonight, so I'm going to surprise her so we can all hang out early.
Oh, really?
So I figured since I'm not working tonight, I'll go have drinks last night.
Uh-huh.
And I need to tell you that I could have slept with three different guys last night.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
And I
Where
went
were
home
you?
By myself. I really am a loser. I obviously don't want it that badly because
yeah,
I keep turning it down.
No, it's good that you know, discerning.
Yes,
you
that's
know?
What we call it. No, I like to call it crazy as I'm waiting for my invisible soulmate. Okay, he's ruining my sex life, to tell you.
Oh, you're invisible?
My soulmate, yeah. You know, that's on my rooftop. He's ruining my sex life.
Okay.
I'm like waiting. No, so this guy, my old, let's just call him booty call, mm-hmm. like wanted to hang out last night. And so I was like, do I? And we're really good friends. Like we have fun together. So when I make the choice to hang out, I'm like, am I like giving him this message that we're going to hook up or, but it can go either way. And I'm fine like telling a guy no. So I was like, yeah, let's go. So then my roommate decided she's going to join us. So we all like went out for drinks. And then while I was there, I ran into an ex of mine that we have not seen each other in months. And then that was during needy time, needy Sherry. So, and he was like Mr. Distance. So that was a good combination.
Yeah. It's perfectly.
Right.
Yeah.
So we saw each other last night and I love how men, you guys are so silly. Like, it's so funny. Like everyone has their own perception of things. Like he totally dissed me. Like I've sent him like 3 emails since then. Like, what are you doing? And he's completely ignored me. And then last night he said, so how come you don't keep in touch with me? And I was like, I just looked at him with these eyes like, shut the fuck up. Well, I was being really nice too. And I had no interest in talking to him. And I was with my friend.
Right.
And so I was just like very like, oh, he's like, what are you doing? And I was like, ah, I just got a radio show. And some other stuff. I was like, but I got to go and get a drink. He's like, why are you trying to leave so quickly? I'm like, I'm not trying to leave quickly. He's like, why don't you want to talk? I'm like, because I got things to do and I got company here. Like, I really had no interest. And then he thought I was being a bitch. And so then he kept staring at me the whole time. And he's really attractive. And so there was like the part of me as the drinks were going down that was like, maybe one last time. But I didn't.
You got to watch that drinking, man. It makes you do stupid things.
No, it makes me do really fun things.
Okay. That you regret later.
No, I went home by myself.
Oh, okay.
Although I do regret that.
I didn't mean last night. I meant in general.
Yeah. No, that's why I only go out once a week.
Uh-huh.
Because so I can keep my bad choices to a minimum.
I see. Reduce the exposure.
Right. Put alcohol in front of me. It's forget about it. Oh, which reminds me, well, it's another story, but I'm almost done with this one. So then as my friend that I went out with, he's like passed out on the bar because he smoked a little of that funny stuff last night and he hasn't
passed out on the bar.
He hadn't smoked in a while. And then I was feeding him alcohol. And so the combination of the two is just like, he's literally head there. And so then my ex is like, this is who you go out with? He was like, maybe you should hang out with us. And I'm like, no, I actually enjoy his company. He's like, but he's sleeping. I said, I wore him out. No, and then some Middle Eastern dude comes up to me and he's like, I can't do the accent, but he's like,
hello, Sherry.
I've seen it. No, he didn't. No, he's a stranger.
Okay.
I've seen your smile from across the bar. I'm like, oh God, that doesn't work in this country. Okay.
Did he have gold chains?
Maybe.
Yeah.
He might have, but he was just like, I've never seen a smile like yours. He was like, you light up this whole place. And I was like, oh,
really?
Thanks.
Wow.
I mean, and he was a good looking guy, but he was just like extra cheesy, like extra cheesy Middle Eastern, you know, like, and then, so then my friend finally got up and was like, stumbling, and I said, okay, I'm gonna go like walk him back to my house to his car. And so Middle Eastern dude's like where are you going? And I was like, home. I said, well, I hang out here sometimes, so, you know, I'll see you again. And he was like, I'm only in town for a night. Yeah. And I was like, well, I hope you have a good night.
Yeah, tough shit.
Sorry, buddy. So then I walk home, and I get up to my apartment, and I, like, literally sit there, and I'm like, all right. Okay. Here I am, me and my red tube. And I woke up like at 3:30 in the morning, and I like looked up and I talked to the ceiling, yeah. which was my soulmate.
Your soulmate?
Yes. And yeah. I said, you better be happy, mister. But it was a really fun night.
Yeah.
Nonetheless. And then I wake up this morning, and my friend John, who I've talked about in the past, but I always call him my friend, he's professed his love for me.
Right.
Like pretty strongly. Uh-huh. And this morning he went out last night, and I said, since when did you become such an alcoholic? You used to drink like a couple of Coronas and be buzzed. And he was like, ever since I've fallen in love with you.
Yeah.
And I said, wow, I thought I was a positive influence on people. I've turned someone into an alcoholic. That's kind of sucky.
Yeah. So he's in love with you, but mm-hmm. I guess he's not your soulmate.
Well, he seems to think that I just don't know it yet.
I
haven't
okay.
opened up my heart to him yet.
I see.
But I have to say that I think about him a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I do. But, you know, it is
yeah.
what it is.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's either a click or there isn't.
Right.
You know?
Right. Well, yeah. there's an emotional click.
Right.
There's, you know, there's that. I, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm going out to see him.
Sounds like excuses.
Shut
excuses
up. I'm going out to see when I go to New York. Yeah. He's who I'm staying with.
Yeah.
That's going to be interesting,
well,
right?
Yeah, that'll be kind of awkward, no?
Well, he just came out here and stayed with me.
Right.
On the couch.
Yeah.
So.
But then he fell in love with you in the meantime.
Well, he fell in love with me before he came out
oh,
here.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Hello. He fell in love with me through the internet space.
Yeah.
My personality going across the country. I don't know. Through the airwaves. I
it's
don't know.
Magic.
Yeah,
know?
I guess so. Yeah. It's too bad. I don't even have to finish a sentence here. The magic's working for everybody else, but what about mine?
Yeah.
Yeah, where's my...
Well, you first help other people, and then you tend to yourself.
Yeah, I'm
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Okay.
How was your day, night? Oh, you were on another radio show yesterday.
Yeah, I was on Johnny Damn's show yesterday.
And what that's a damage
and,
report?
Yeah. And that was a big switch for me because I'm used to talking shit. You know?
No, when
we
I
talk
didn't.
About really unimportant things.
You
and
mean
then
like
just,
intelligent
you know,
stuff that I can't
yeah.
speak about?
Or neither can I, for that matter.
No, that's not true. You're
no,
smart in your pants.
Yeah, but some things I just don't get into. You
yeah.
know?
Well, when I tuned in because I didn't realize you were on it because mm-hmm. you don't tell me things, Sam.
Yeah.
You really need to start opening up more. No, I saw it on your okay. Facebook, on your page.
Actually, I didn't remember till an hour before.
So obviously you're really excited about it.
No, you know, I forget things.
No.
Too much so going weird. On, man. I need like a that's personal funny. Secretary just to remind
yeah,
me what
yeah,
to
do.
Yeah,
you
do. All the time.
You need like someone in here that sits here and takes minutes and like everything you say that's appointment-wise.
Yeah, exactly.
Writing it down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or just have your wife do it.
Yeah. Well, she does.
Okay. Well.
I don't think she likes the role, though.
Probably not.
Yeah.
But that's what comes along with being a wife, right?
Yeah,
you gotta
I guess.
Do things you don't want to do yeah. while they pay the bills.
Yeah. She's got to pick up the slack that I'm leaving behind.
You actually just have to read her notes is probably the problem here. She writes them and you don't do anything with them.
No, I don't, really.
Well, I saw that you were going to be on it, and I was getting ready to go to an audition,
mm-hmm.
which went really well,
yeah.
by the way.
It did?
Uh-huh.
Wonderful.
I won't know anything yet, but the director said straight to me, he was like, perfect. It's exactly what I wanted.
So really?
I
look,
yeah.
Wow.
But that in Hollywood, I mean,
yeah.
you know.
Do you say that?
Well, no, they don't always say that, but, you know, somebody else can come in and it's not like they're better, but maybe it's a different vision, you
right.
know, than they
yeah.
want. But I felt really good about it, except that I was like a rambling mess. Like when I left, when I was walking out, he had said that. I wanted to say, I already dreamt about this, didn't I? So I'm Carlson's appliances. Like, so I said, you know what I was thinking when, and then he looked at me, I was like, no, you probably don't need to know my innermost thoughts. And him and the camera guy just started laughing. I was like, have a good day. He was just like, Sherry, you really need to calm down. But at least I made him smile.
Out of control.
I know,
man.
A little bit.
Out of
it's
control.
The coffee.
It's a coffee?
Yeah. But
yeah.
the appointment, what
you
I
You don't
did,
think it's the booze?
Well, how much booze do you think I drink? You think I left
know.
Here and drank booze? No, I had coffee yesterday. I went home. I switched. My audition was supposed to be during my job last night, and I was able to switch it to an earlier time.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's not the booze.
It's not the booze. Okay.
Are you trying an intervention here?
You.
Is that what's happening
yeah,
here?
Yeah, I think so. I'm afraid you do something stupid when
listen,
you're drunk.
drinks or no drinks, I do dumb things. No, but nothing's a mistake, remember?
Yeah, I suppose.
Well, no, if I think that I really do what I want to do when I drink.
Right.
You know, like last night I wasn't trying to go out and have sex, and so I didn't.
That's true, yeah.
You know?
You
if
didn't
I
put
wanted,
out last night.
No, I didn't. Now, the night before is a different story. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
Now, what about the Middle Eastern? Would you have taken him to...
No.
No, huh?
No, he was too cheesy.
Yeah.
Well, taking him where?
To
Booze Central. Come to Booze Central. Yeah. I got alcohol lined up
Okay,
for
now,
you.
If he weren't cheesy, would you do it? Would you have done it?
What are you asking me? If I was attracted to a guy, would I go have a one-night stand?
Yeah, I guess that's what I'm asking.
Thank you.
Especially if he's Middle Eastern.
I don't like Middle Eastern. I mean, I do.
Yeah.
I mean, you're great. But
yeah, but I'm not quite like them.
So you say.
Yeah.
Just put a couple of gold chains on. And you're good to go.
F you, okay.
Ew.
Yeah.
I got something attached to me that's gummy and nasty.
Oh, that's not good.
No, not gum. It's not.
Yeah. I don't know what somebody left. Is that off the chair?
Yeah. It's like being back in school and they're like, gum.
Yeah.
No. But I've taken him home. I mean, I've had one night stands before,
yeah,
but I'm not in that place right now.
No, huh?
Like, seriously, unless he was like ridiculously hot, and at least unless I had like maybe two more drinks.
Right.
And he was really aggressive and kissed me really well.
Really?
Then we could talk.
Yeah.
There's lots of rules involved here to get me home.
God, that's too complicated.
Yeah, really, just get me drunk. Oh, that's what you're worried about.
Yeah,
okay. Got it, Dad.
Somebody's got to look
out for
you.
I'm gonna start calling you Dad.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
That's a good role to have, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm the father figure.
I'm going to kill you.
You're a dad.
I'm not that old, okay? You mean I'm behaving like I am?
Yes, I just call you Dad because you act like a father figure.
Okay, I understand.
Which you are a father, so
yeah,
naturally.
Yeah, but it could be like a brother, too.
I've always wanted an older brother.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know I'm going to call you bro?
Yeah, don't call me father.
It's kind of hot, though. No, like... Yeah, no.
You know that I could easily become a grandfather now if my daughter decided to do something. Which is, like, so fucking weird to me,
you
know?
Oh, yeah. Gramps. You could be Gramps.
I'll hate
Grandpa
that.
Grandpa Samuel.
I'll hate it.
No, you won't.
I will.
Yes, you will with that
I
look.
I will.
Why would you hate being a grandparent?
Because I'm too young for that, I think.
Okay, you're also
yeah,
too
I
much
don't
in
view
denial.
Myself. Yeah. I still think of myself as a teenager sometimes.
Yeah, my
know?
Mom used to say that, and she's 60 now, and she's still saying that. I'm like, no, you're old.
Yeah. Yeah, you're great for self-esteem, huh?
Yeah, let me. You gotta pop people's self-esteem sometimes when their head gets too big.
I suppose.
Okay, so the Starbucks cup. The woman says this morning she goes.
That's a huge cup.
Yeah,
by the
I
way.
Know.
I never have venti.
Neither do I.
Yeah.
This is the second time I've done it.
It says five on there.
I know.
Five shots.
Well, it's either that or I'm not going through that energy drink thing again.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, you're making my habit worse. I'm making John an alcoholic. You're making me a caffeine-aholic or something.
I see. Me.
Yes, you
okay.
are. Okay. So I go there this morning. She goes, your name is, she's trying to remember her name. She's like, Terry.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, but it was very close. And she was like, oh, I should have gotten it. I was like, no, it's really close. I was like, you could have called me Martha.
Yeah.
So on my cup, she wrote Sherry and Martha. I just noticed. That's pretty funny.
Sherry
Martha. That's good. That's good.
Yeah, they're pretty nice at Starbucks,
yeah,
though,
they're
huh?
great. And they get to know you, and they know your drinks and stuff. There's not, I mean, not that other places won't, but I like them.
Yeah.
She was trying to sell me that instant coffee that they're doing now. The
yeah,
Via.
The Via.
Yeah, yeah, they were trying, and she was like, don't you want to try it? And I said, well, let's be real here. You have a choice, and I'm sure Starbucks would prefer my choice. I said, either I can buy the Via from you, or I can come in 5 days a week and spend $7 every day.
Yeah, you do the math.
Right. And she was like, well, in that case, considering I'd like to see your face, I'm like, mm-hmm, thank you. Leave me alone about the Via. Okay? I'm spending my life savings on this damn coffee that does nothing for me anymore.
Yeah, okay, sometimes I wonder what we do without a Starbucks, you know?
I thought you were going to say without me. I was going to say have a really boring life.
Yeah, that's true, too. Has it occurred to you pretty self-centered?
Has it occurred to me? No, I don't think about myself very often.
No.
I'm really actually not. I really hate myself.
Yeah?
I think it's just fun to play that game of being that way. Yeah. I used to, like, as a kid, the whole world had to revolve around me. Like, I mean, even now, my friends, like, they'll post something on Facebook and it's a joke. Like, my friend's like, I saw Zombieland, blah, 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 talking about Zombieland. And I wrote, my comment back was, I want to see Paranormal Activity. And my friend wrote, I'm glad you joined the conversation and made this about you.
Yeah.
We were having talking about something else. I'm like, yeah, but I want to think. And I didn't even, that one honestly wasn't trying to be funny. I didn't realize I really had done that.
Yeah.
I just want to talk about me, I guess. I don't mean to.
Well, that's good. I mean, that's good, you know?
No, it's annoying.
Yeah, but you've got to increase your sphere of influence for a while.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. If I only spoke about me, that would be one thing, but I'm trying to include the rest of the world to talk about me.
Oh, okay. So the world is grateful.
You know, I'm glad you brought up grateful.
Yeah.
Because today is Friday, and I've decided that it's Gratitude Friday. I said, today is have an attitude of gratitude.
Was that a black accent?
Okay, first of all, you might want to take that back. I don't think black people have accents. But it was, whether you're white, black, or Asian, my ghetto.
Oh, your ghetto.
This morning, I couldn't figure out what I wanted to wear for the day, and so I had my do-rag on first. And then I just pictured you making fun of a former guest that had a do-rag, and I was like, I don't want to get into that. But when I put it on, I was thinking about how grateful I was for certain things, because I do that every day.
Yeah.
And so when I just saw myself in the do-rag, I was like, girl, you need to have an attitude of gratitude. But then I changed and I was like, well, I guess I can't be that ghetto, but I've decided to bring it out anyway. Can you repeat after me? Can you say it? Just like that. Come on. Come on. Come on.
No,
say
I can't say it.
Sam, say have an attitude. You don't want to do it.
No, I don't want to do
fine.
It.
I won't pressure you anymore. Boring.
Thank you.
You know, my favorite, one of my favorite movies is When Harry Met Sally. Have you seen it?
Yes.
When he... when they're in the wherever they're at.
The restaurant. And no, she does her orgasm. That's what everybody likes to talk about, no?
Yeah, no, I wasn't.
That's
going
not the
to.
Part.
I talk enough about orgasms.
Okay. So you're talking about a different part.
Yes, just the repeating when he's talking about the pecan pie and he was like, pecan pie. And he was like making her repeat it and he was like, I would like some. I can't remember it. He always tells such a good story sometimes.
Yeah, it's an amazing story.
You know this
story.
Part when he goes, I don't remember what he does, but
yeah,
it was really good.
It's fascinating.
Let me drink some more coffee.
Yeah. Your lips are moving and you say nothing.
Thank you. Welcome to the rest of my life. Yeah. Nothing important comes out.
Yeah. So we're going to have a guest later on. Her name is Pamela Beatty. And she's, I'm not sure, she's an intuitive, I guess.
Okay.
And she wrote a book and stuff, so she's going to be here in a little bit, and that should be pretty interesting.
I love the title of it.
Yeah, I guess that's what everybody likes about the title. What is it again?
Why am I effed up?
Yeah, why am I effed up? I guess you'll want to talk about the title, too.
Yes, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I guess it's not like internet radio.
Why are you effed up?
I personally don't think I am.
No.
That's why this book is just a... it's going to be good research for other people.
I see. Not for you.
No, no.
Okay.
I used to be
effed
up.
Doesn't apply to you.
I used to be effed up.
Yeah.
But I don't live in the past anymore. I live in the present.
Oh, yes.
And in the present, I'm doing just fine.
Yes. And that's why they call it the present, right?
Because it's a gift.
Yeah.
There is a quote in here that I love.
I get into spirituality sometimes, you see?
Yeah, no, I know. I get impressed with some of the things you say sometimes.
Yeah. I put up that God question last night.
I saw that. And then when I wrote my silly answer, I thought, oh, godparents. Because
yeah.
What was the question that you asked?
Yeah, I said, what did I say? I said, if God has created man, if God created man, who created God?
And I said, maybe God has parents.
Yeah.
And then this morning when I woke up, I was like, duh, godparents.
No, the godparents is a good.
Yeah, I know, yeah. But I'm always late. It's just like my audition. Like, you always do your best audition in the car.
Yeah,
afterwards. After I've left it, I'm like, oh, I could have done it like that. I couldn't. I'm always like, damn, I'm good. Like this morning, it was the same thing with a joke. I'm like, I should have said godparents.
Yeah.
It's godparents. I'm going to go back and delete my old comment and write that one.
That's
so it looks like I'm funny.
Yeah.
It's a good joke, right?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, no one copyrighted. It's mine. It's all mine.
Godparents.
Yeah, so I saw you were in the spiritual mode.
Yeah.
Did you see the other answers you got? There was some good stuff in there.
Yeah.
Mine was the best.
Yeah, but it wasn't really... It didn't really answer the question.
Well, do you think they have?
Yeah.
Who's supposed to answer this question for you?
Nobody.
Right? Everyone has their own personal relationship with God.
Yeah.
So it just didn't get the answer you wanted.
Yeah.
What are you leaning
It wasn't
towards?
Like I really needed to know that. It's just sometimes I sit there and I go, what am I going to write? I don't really have a status update that anybody cares about.
Next
so
time
I'll just
write
something.
What is Sam doing? Sam is thinking about what he should write.
Yeah.
That's what I do sometimes. Or I just open a book to a quote and go, today's quote is, and I do random pointing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Today mine was good. I liked mine today.
Yeah.
I don't remember what it was.
You think people like to read quotes and stuff?
Well, I can tell you this much. There used to be never any quotes on my Facebook page, and now everybody's status updates are quotes.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's definitely people. I think there's people that don't.
Yeah.
And they could just hide you from their thing. But there's so many people I think that get inspired. Like, people write me constantly about some of the stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that they need to hear. And I like to read people's quotes. There's some people that I'm just like, oof, that was bad. But yeah. I like to read jokes too. I try to mix mine up, you know.
Yeah.
I'll make a joke. Like yesterday, I made a joke about finally becoming more like my mother. Did you see that one?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, about working.
Yeah. Because
when I left here, I was just like, God, I really don't want to work. And I remember my mom always saying that. She was like, I wasn't born to work, Sherry.
Yeah.
Nope, was not born to work.
No.
So I felt that way yesterday.
Yeah.
And then I just thought it'd be a lot easier.
Good thing you don't feel it all the time, though, because you wouldn't work.
I know. It's already bad enough I take off. And then I know. Well, no, it's a good thing that I'm not independently wealthy because I'm sitting at home all the time watching reality TV shows.
And Red Tube, of course.
Of course. Can you get pregnant by Red Tube? My friend, because I was telling my friend on the phone this morning, I was like, I have good news. Yeah. He's like, you're pregnant? And I was like, what is good about that? And then I said, unless it's by artificial insemination. And he was like, or Red Tube, what the fuck did you watch? And then I was thinking that. I was like, can I get pregnant?
Yeah, probably, huh? If you watch too much.
Then I'd be like the Dunbar family or whatever. What's their names? That have like the 18 kids. You know?
18 kids.
Oh, it's reality. No. You wouldn't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking that would be me because I watched that much Red Tube.
John and Kate or
no,
something?
No, they're plus 8.
Yeah.
No, this is like 18.
Plus 8.
That's the name of the show.
I know.
John and Kate plus 8, although now it's just Kate plus 8.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, he left.
Well, yeah, he's got this new life, a new woman, and now he's being sued. He stole all their money and stuff that they had in a bank account.
Really? Wow, and he does it all on TV, huh?
No. This is all, like, off because he said he didn't want to film anymore, and now TLC's suing him because he's supposed to have a contract.
Right.
And he, like, they had, like, $300,000 saved or something in their joint bank account, and he went and took everything.
Really?
And left her with, like, $1,000 for her and the 8 kids.
Wow.
I know.
Yeah. But that's the thing. I mean, he's got to know it's going to be on TV. You know,
well, it's been all
look like
well,
shit.
It's been the cover of like magazines and newspapers more than even the TV stuff.
I suppose, yeah.
Like, yeah, how is he not going to know that? But, you know, in his own truth, he had a reason for doing that.
Yeah.
You know, and she's like ruining the kids' lives by putting them on TV. I'm like, you should have thought about that like 10 seasons ago.
Yeah.
Just because you guys are divorced now it's suddenly bad. You
yeah,
know?
I know.
Would you ever want a camera to follow you around?
No, I don't think so.
No?
But I know you would.
No, not when I wake up in the morning. They have to like catch
me. It's okay.
Me.
I don't think they're going to film that.
No, they do in reality shows.
Really?
Like, every second. Yeah.
Really?
They even put like black lights in your room and stuff. So if you like you're getting intimate, they could see that too.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck?
I know. It's reality. They're reality.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've thought about it, but if it was my own show, like if I was like in the producer of it and it could be my vision of it, it would be fun.
Yeah.
Day
do you remember that
me.
Show, The Truman Show, the movie?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Did you like it?
That was kind of like that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except he didn't know about it.
Yeah.
Well, his whole entire life was like a lie.
Yeah.
It was all like people just placed there. It was all like a cast of actors. Imagine if you found that out,
yeah.
that your wife wasn't real. None of the people in your, well, she was obviously real, but
right.
like everything in your life was fake.
Arranged.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird, huh?
Yeah.
Sam, I got something to tell you.
Yeah.
None of this exists. You're not really here.
Yeah. I know. Sometimes I think about that, you know, when I watch The Matrix and stuff. You know?
Yeah.
Is it like all an illusion, you know?
Oh, I have friends that really believe that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I mean, you can look at things around you. Like, for example, like, you know how everything is made of atoms, right?
Right.
And an atom is like 99% of nothing. So, you know, when you hit the table, for example, you're hitting nothing, but it's an illusion, I think, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, don't fucking laugh at me.
I'm only laughing because once you started giving me, like, percentages, I'm like, 2 nouns. I'm like, this is going to get technical. No, yes.
I mean, essentially, the thing is this, is that theoretically, you should not be able to walk into a wall, okay? You should be able to walk through it.
Because because it's nothing. Cause
yeah, I mean, it's a lot of nothings
matter.
Moving really fast. You know, that's what atoms are.
So really, I don't weigh much. I'm just a big ball of nothing.
Exactly.
You mean nothing to me, Sam. Duh, I am nothing. I could just keep going with these. I like it. No, but I have a friend who like really believes in the Matrix and talks about how we're all just energy and none of this is really real anyway. And it's kind of like a cool way to go through life, though, because then you think that you can really do anything.
Exactly. You know? Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. And why do we call a table a table?
I don't know. You tell me.
I don't know. Why don't we call it a tree?
You can. But we picked one word. Why would we choose another?
That's true. And if I said to someone, go sit at the tree.
But if it's always been called a tree, then that's what it would be.
Right. But I wonder who made up these first words.
Who knows?
God's parents. I don't know. But like who decides on words? Like Webster?
I think they evolve. They kind of evolve. Just like
from
look
monkeys?
At new words now, you know? Like tweeting and stuff, you know, and things like
imagine
that.
Imagine being responsible for words.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the person that's responsible for tweeting.
Uh-huh.
Screw them.
Yeah.
It's annoying. I don't get it. I still don't. I'm trying to. I know we talk about it all the time, but every day I go on the Twitter page and I'm like,
I know. Okay. What do I do now?
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know how to work it.
Yeah.
I don't.
Well, you can do searches on like keywords and stuff. So if you're looking for something specific, you can.
I mean, I get some great quotes from there, and I follow, you know, like Wayne Dyer on there, and I follow Eckhart Tolle and all, you know, all these good people, and I get to see things that they're saying. But as far as like communicating with other people, just
Well, next week we're gonna have the author of Twitter for Dummies.
Oh.
And
what did you book that one for me too?
Yeah.
Part of it has four dummies.
But so hopefully she'll make us see the light, you know, because I mean I've tried Twitter a few times and it's just too much work to build that followership.
Yeah,
you know?
You need to have your secretary do it.
Yeah, there you go. Sit there all day and write shit, you know.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I mean, these people that I'm reading, they're not even really writing it. It's their people, and I of course think it's them. And then this morning I read like, Eckhart Tolle is going to start writing his own blah, blah, blah for the next week. I'm like, what? It's like finding out Santa Claus isn't real.
Yeah.
I was like, he hasn't been communicating with me? What's this about?
Yeah.
I don't really get it.
I think a lot of big authors also have like a team of people writing, you know?
I know.
I know Tom Clancy for a fact, you know? All these spy novels and stuff. He's got like, I mean, I just think they come up with like the outline and then other people do the writing.
Yeah. Do you think it's just because they're too busy or they think they're too good?
Yeah. It's become like a business, an industry, you know, for them.
I don't know, but I feel like if you do it yourself, you'd get so much out of it too.
Yeah, you would. But then it would take you forever to come out with a book, you know?
Yeah. See, when I'm famous, I'm going to still be like down to earth. And I know that everybody probably says that, but I really will. Yeah. Like I'm going to stop and sign autographs. I'm going to actually, I have this thing that I want to do. I don't actually want to give autographs. I want to get my fans autographs because I think it's them that have the ones that made me successful. You know what I mean?
See.
And then it's like,
okay. It's
all about them anyway. You know, they're the reason why I do it.
But if you're famous, they want to show people that they've met you, you know?
I know, but I think it's a way of showing gratitude because I wouldn't be anywhere without them. And they're the reason that motivates me to do what I do.
Yeah.
So I've always said, you know, that I want their autograph. And so one of my friends, it was very cute, sent me a picture of himself with his signature on it. He's like, I want to be your first autograph.
Oh yeah.
Like, yeah. So I'm already starting my collection.
Yeah.
So anyone that asks me for an autograph, I'm like, I want yours. I know it's a little weird.
You're just so idealistic, man. Hopelessly.
Do you sometimes like want to have like a bow and arrow? And just like, pop! Big old bubble around me.
Yeah.
And then all the fat oozes out. I don't know.
Let's take a little break and we'll come back with Sharing with Sherry.
Okay.
So stay with us.
On your computer, on your Wi-Fi radio, on your iPhone. Commercial-free, original talk. Only on LA Talk Radio. Your favorite talk station. Favorite talk station. I'm in that mood.
take your phone calls. Dial 323-203-0815 to get on the air. Now, once again, here are your morning show hosts, Sam and Sherry.
What are you watching?
Just the board. And all the skill it takes. I am feeling a little lonely that no one's called us today.
Really? Mm-hmm. That's true, huh?
I was getting really used to our phone calls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, everybody that could call.
But have something to say.
Yeah, don't just call to say hi.
Hi, can I speak to Sherry, please? Yeah. What are you doing?
Yeah, how you doing, Sherry?
I'm good. I'm at work. I love my friends.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to call your mom next week for sure.
I know. She's waiting
so
patiently.
I can't wait for those swinger stories, man.
Oh, God. Like, I've never heard details of them, and I'm not sure I want to. But you can ask her whatever. She keeps waiting patiently for the phone call.
Uh-huh. Okay.
She loved it. It was her little side to be like, I'm a star.
Yeah.
That's cute.
All right.
Your favorite song. What?
How many times does she say Sherry? Did you count?
No.
I need to count.
You have before already, and I think you came up with 6. Well, first you tried saying 26, and I said the word sharing does not count as my name.
I see.
I mean, it's in my name.
Yeah.
Wasn't that brilliant when I made that up?
It really was.
Well, I just like the fact that it's the Sherry, my name, hyphen NG.
Right.
You know, which is kind of...
Yeah.
I just felt like it was meant to be, like, that was a point of my name.
Yeah. God, you're so creative.
Fuck off. There's no need to be jealous, Samuel.
Okay.
Just because you don't have it in your
name. I can't help myself.
I know. It's difficult. A lot of people have problems with that. Anyway, another moment of ruining my sharing with Sherry moment. Well, today I'm going to say, like I said, it's about gratitude today. First, I'm going to start off by saying that I'm grateful that my mom gave me my name because it gives me the opportunity to use it now in the right way.
Yeah.
I'm also grateful for this fantastic opportunity and grateful for you.
Oh, wow.
Now, the reason why I'm talking about gratitude is because I think that's the number one, I don't want to say problem, like, but people's vision. We talk, you know, I always say, like, oh, it's about people's perception in life. And I think the first way you have to change your perception is to actually figure out what's actually good in your life as opposed to what's bad in your life.
Right.
You know? Yeah. And it took me some time. Like, before, I would wake up in the morning and I'd be like, ugh, I don't want to go to work. I have to be up this early. I have no money. I have no this. I have no... How are you supposed to start a day and be happy with, like, those first thoughts?
That's
and I know I'm not
true.
The only one, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember seeing quite a few years ago on Oprah that it was like, start a gratitude journal.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, okay. Great.
I'll do that too.
I'm going to write about
whatever
it
takes.
I'm going to write about it. I got a cum on my face last night. No. And honestly, the moment, and I've had people do it, the moment that you stop and think about all the things that are good in your life is the moment that you start focusing on that. And they always say that the more grateful you are for things, you invite more of that in your life.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Well, it totally makes sense. But a lot of people don't think consciously about that. And so once you can start figuring out and like just wake up in the morning or whatever and just write down like 10 things that you're grateful for the day.
Yeah.
And honestly, it turns your whole entire day around. And then you start looking at life differently because
that's true, huh?
You really start noticing the small things when you consciously think about what you have to be happy about, and then you realize all the things that are going wrong in your life, they do not compare to all like your positive list.
Right.
You know
what
I mean?
That's
like,
true. Just to wake up and be alive, you know?
I always say when people are like, how's your day going so far? I'm like, well, I woke up breathing, so it's a good start.
Yeah.
Like I always tell the coffee person, there was the coffee person, the barista, there was this guy last night sitting at the bar at the restaurant, and I was standing there and I was handing up my checkout, like trying to get out of there. And he goes, well, you must be going home because you're smiling.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I'm always smiling. And he was like, really? He was like, why is that? And I said, because I'm alive. Yeah. And he was probably about like 50. And we got into a conversation and I was just talking about living in the present. Of course, my conversation. And he was like, I have to tell you something. And I said, what's that? And he was like, it makes me feel so good that at somewhat your age can actually get all that right now. He was like, because it takes many people many years to get to this place.
That's true.
You know, and I don't think that I'm brilliant or anything. I just think that I was around people and I prayed a lot for guidance and stuff. And I think once you become conscious, like you consciously live and ask for these things and are grateful for these things, they start showing up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Have you seen people like, and I know I've talked about it before, like you get on Facebook or whatever and the first thing is just like complaining and whining. And I'm just like, all I want to say is, what's actually going well in your life?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And even if you can only find two things, it still is those two things and focus on those and
yeah.
More comes your way.
I know. I've become more conscious of it now. I don't put any negative things up there, you know? People don't want to hear that.
Right. It's so true. Like, I read this quote by Ralph Waldo Emerson that was, and I can't remember what it is, but it was along the lines of like, no one wants to hear your whining, your complaining, your this, you know, that. And it's true. Like, I much rather read what people are like happy. I mean, because it does really affect you by reading other people's stuff. And they're like, oh, this is the worst day ever. My car broke down. My mom just died. Well, mom, I can understand you're talking about your mom dying. I get that. But it's just becoming more aware of it and paying attention to it and more comes your way. And then I want to read this little something because I just, it's kind of along the same lines, but a little different. I just liked what it said. It says, what is it going to take before we realize how absolutely wonderfully special and blessed we are? We are a human being, which means we are endowed with everything we need to master this thing called life. We are not a human becoming or a human could be. We are being now, all that we are born capable of being. Why are we acting like there's something else we need? Isn't life enough?
Oh,
I like it.
Yeah,
not
life
a human.
Is enough.
Right. And I love that they said we're not a human becoming or a human could be. We're a human being. Like right now in this moment, we are being. So why don't we just be happy?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, we can.
Okay,
I
well,
suppose.
Do it.
It depends what happens to you, though.
But
you
that's what I'm saying. Your perception. Yeah. Think about the things that you're grateful for and focus on those.
Right.
The more you invite into your life, the more it shows up.
Yeah.
Telling you.
That's true.
I'm telling you.
Makes sense.
Okay, and then I have one positive news story for you today.
Oh, good. Today you remembered.
Well, I've been holding it for 2 days. So you know how like sometimes the church gets a negative rap? And all that, you know, like, and collecting money and stuff like that. And oh, it only goes towards, you know, their pocket or, you know, the church. Mm-hmm. There is this priest in Wisconsin whose mother just passed away and she left him like all this silver and like from the 1790s or whatever. And him and his brothers and sisters got together and decided that they were going to sell the silver, which is worth $21,000. And they're building a homeless shelter with it.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, and, you know, and they talked to their mom like while she was dying, you know, about what they wanted to do with her money, you know, about it. And she gave them like full permission. But instead of, you know, spending it on himself or like there, they decided to do something really good with it. And so it's going to be built by the church and stuff, but, you know, all the money from, you know, his pocket. So I just thought, you know, there are some good people out there,
definitely.
You know, and that aren't just taking advantage. And so I thought that was very cool. So to the priest in Wisconsin, good job.
Yeah.
I don't know your name because I only read half news stories, but I'm proud of you.
Yeah. Well, there are good things, I suppose, if you look for them, right?
Yeah. Always.
Always.
You found it. Hello.
Yeah. I keep forgetting.
I don't know how you forget.
But you won't let me forget.
Nope. Not for a moment. I'm actually the one that's grateful, so.
Yeah.
Yes.
So this is cool. So your friend is coming into town.
Uh-huh.
When is she arriving?
She gets into LAX tonight at 7:30.
Oh, cool.
And you know what's funny is that my friend...
So you're going to take it directly to a bar or...
Well, she's renting a car.
Yeah.
So she's going to have the best drive from LAX to Burbank.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
I'm like...
At 7 o'clock at night.
I know. I was just like, oof, good luck with this one.
Yeah.
Like, she thinks I'm working, so I'm going to be at my best friend Heather's house.
Because
that's where she's staying. And so
I see. So she'll show up and you'll surprise her.
Yeah,
by
I mean,
being
she thought
there.
That I was going to get there at midnight. Or whatever. So
that'll be cool.
Yeah, it's gonna be like girls' weekend.
Oh, wow.
And she's like, you better be ready to go out every night. And I'm like, my pocketbook's definitely not ready.
Yeah.
Pocketbook. Who uses pocketbook anymore?
I don't know, you.
Does anyone say pocketbook anymore?
No, not really.
Purse, my wallet. Do we have a caller?
Yeah, we got a call.
Yay!
Believe it or not. Good morning, you on the air. Who is this?
This is Tommy. Good morning.
Oh, Tommy.
Tommy.
Came in to save the day.
Good morning. I was just begging for a caller.
I heard the cry of... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I said I was begging for a caller.
That's exactly why I called.
Yeah. And he answered your prayer.
I heard that call.
I manifested it. No, Sherry, you just asked on the radio.
Okay, it's that gratitude working for you again.
Yeah. I'm very grateful for your phone call.
So for everyone, Tommy is a friend of the of the show. And you are you back in New York or still in Connecticut?
I'm in New York today.
Oh, okay, cool. What's it like up
there? I'm on Central League. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, what's it like there today?
It's a little overcast right now. It's about, I'd say, 55 degrees.
Yeah.
And the foliage is in full bloom.
You sound like a weatherman.
Unbelievable colors.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. She says you sound like a weatherman.
It's 55 degrees and overcast. The foliage is at its full bloom. There's going to be a northwest wind from the fire. I mean, whatever.
Yes, there's a storm front blowing in from the west.
No, that's just Sherry. I love when I crack my own self up. I get like my own blow jokes actually, before anybody else does.
Oh, wow.
So Tommy, she's coming to New York. Are you going to take her to dinner or something?
He's the one that's taking me to Radio City Music Hall to see the Rockettes.
Wow. Tommy.
Oh, yeah,
I'm proud of you, man.
What do you mean proud?
Yeah, he doesn't waste any time.
Well, we've been emailing constantly, and we have found out that we have some mutual friends.
Oh, really?
Yes.
In New York?
Yes.
Oh.
Crazy enough. And so we've just been talking a lot, and he said, you know, when I get to New York, that he'd like love to hang out. So he gave me an option of a Broadway show and stuff, which was really nice.
Tommy, man, you're something.
you're throwing in a dinner too, right? I'm getting dinner also, well, right?
Yep.
Yeah, you got to treat her nicely.
And I get a limo too, right? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, and make sure she meets those lesbian friends of yours, man.
Oh, Sam.
I'm about an hour north of the city, so that would have to be a second day, huh?
Okay.
Well, that sounds like you're going to have to extend my trip.
Yeah, exactly. You don't have to twist her arm for that one.
Yeah.
Well, maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. If
she says she's not into it, so got to be respectful.
Yeah. Into what? Oh, the lesbians? I mean,
oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't want
to
watch.
She's very much into it.
Shut up. I'm just going to be doing my duty as a reporter to go.
There you go. That's right. We'll set up a digital recorder and we'll do the play-by-play. And yeah. Now she's taking a dildo and sticking it up her ass. But wait, there's more.
A lot more.
So what's going on in your life, Tommy? Are you dating anyone?
Not really, no. At the moment, I'm kind of playing it safe. There's a lot of options around me. The thing with the lesbian, like I said, they've become pretty much, I'm more of the Walter Cronkite of the scene thing. And I don't mind that. I like to watch. It's not a bad thing.
Yeah. Especially when you know they're not into cock anyway. Yeah. Kind of ruins it a little bit. I said especially when
you're... Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
It makes it a little bit awkward.
They're like, what's this doing here?
But
there's
I find
something about the masculine energy that they like in the room. I don't get it, but
yeah,
it's okay.
I find it curious that they want you to watch, you know? I mean, because lesbians, I don't know. I would think they keep their lives private and stuff, you know?
Well, not, and, well, not lesbian whores.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not that I'm calling your friends whores, ladies.
I thought that's exactly what you were doing.
No. That's the thing that's beautiful about it is the fact that these are my friends. And
they are
it is done in a very tasteful and respectful manner. I mean, we have a full meal.
So you guys light candles before they go down on each other.
Yeah. So it's planned out.
Break bread.
Yeah. So it's all planned out, you say. They let you... I mean, for the most part, it is.
You know, I mean... week to week, they're doing things, and they're asking me if I want to participate or watch, and I'd rather watch.
Yeah, wow. Why would you not want to participate in that?
Well, I'll give you an example. Last week was four couples of submissive lesbian wrestling. Why would I want to participate in watching that?
Yeah.
I don't want to. The submissive match was they would stick names into a can. Then they would each individually pick out a name, and then they would wrestle each other to submission and fuck the shit out of them with a strap-on dildo. Why would I want to be involved in that?
Yeah, why would you?
Sam's like, I
don't see the problem.
Well, as long as it's not thumper and they're not coming anywhere near the no-fly zone, I'm just as happy watching.
No-fly zone.
I can respect that, man, whatever. But it leaves some good fantasies in your head, I guess. So go to fantasies when you masturbate and stuff.
Well, this is it, you know. I don't have to worry about it. I just have to recall.
Yeah, exactly.
Very nice. I like that. Facebook status update. I hate
wow,
that.
Wow, flashback.
No, I just hate that my whole entire brain is like it goes by status updates. Anytime anything happens to me, I'm like, got it posted.
Yeah.
I went through that. I did. I went through that for a while.
Yeah,
you're a recovering status updater.
What's that?
I said you're a recovering status updater.
Oh, yeah. You know what's bad when you're like standing at the carousel waiting for my bag. I'm now waiting for the taxi. I'm in the cab.
Well, your status updates are actually novels.
Yeah, that's true. You do.
Yes, it just became that. It really did. It wasn't that way ever. Most of the stuff I was writing as status were lyrics for songs I was working on or material I was working on. And only in the last month or so, I got a little bolder, and I'm currently working on a couple of different short stories. I haven't done that in 15 years.
Oh, good.
And a lot of the poetry and philosophical deep thoughts and stuff that's coming out of me these days is more guided toward a collection that I'm trying to get together to put a book together.
Yeah. Good for you, man, because I know you love to write.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, but didn't you say his writing was too girly, Sam?
Is that what I said?
See, Sam doesn't remember anything. No, because you mentioned it. It's just because Tom E. Do you want to be called Tom or Tommy? What do you prefer? Because I want to call you by the right name.
All of my close friends call me Tommy.
Mm-hmm. So
it
I should call you
years
Tom?
As a professional to be called Tom or Thomas.
Okay.
And then I found out the only person that really called me Thomas and my full name was my mother when I was in trouble.
Yeah. Okay, isn't that true, though? It's always the case,
full name, Can I call you Daddy?
Ooh, okay.
Because Sam won't let me call him that Daddy. So if I can call somebody Daddy, I'd be very happy.
Call your dad Daddy.
I don't have any dad.
I always wanted to say, who's your daddy?
So Daddy, no, that just sounds wrong.
Yeah.
No.
Talk to me.
No, I was just gonna backpedal for Sam a little bit with the calling your writing girly. I think what he meant by that is that you're in touch with your sensitive side.
Yeah, definitely.
Because your writing's really good.
I don't use the word girly.
What did he use, Tommy?
I don't know.
Yes, you did. We talked
about
it. Go back
to the archives. Let's go to the tape.
You really know how to kill people's self-esteem, but nice job.
Nah, well, I don't write for that reason.
No, that's cool. I like guys in touch with their feminine side. You know, I mean, I think I am.
Why is it gotta be your feminine side? Why can't you just be a sensitive guy? You're calling him a girl again, and they're not.
I'm not calling him a girl. I love Tommy.
You know, the funny thing about it is that the manifestations that are coming out of me lately, it was given to me by a good friend, and it just turned into something that I started writing for my soulmate.
Aww.
And it's come out in a very beautiful and...
Have you met your soulmate, or is she invisible too, like mine is?
She greets me in my dreams. She's awe-inspiring, and I'd like to think that she's around me right now, but tomorrow's not written yet.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. Well, it will be soon, I'm sure.
Well, in about 20 hours. I just made up that number so people don't be like, 20 hours is not tomorrow. Oh, no. Anyway.
All right, Tommy, listen, man, thank you so much for calling. We have our guest waiting, so we're going to take a short
break. Always. I'd love to call you guys.
Thank you. I appreciate you answering my call.
Yeah, and you're definitely one of our biggest fans, and we appreciate that.
Hey, guys, have a great weekend. Always a good show.
And I'll see you soon.
Take care.
Thank you, Tommy.
Yeah, I'll see you soon.
Wow.
Bye now.
Bye. Well, you guys are going to have a blast.
Isn't that really nice?
Yeah.
He was like, I'd love to take you to a Broadway show and dinner.
Really?
Yeah,
that's really nice.
It's really nice. And I haven't seen a show in forever.
Wow.
Yeah, so I'm very excited.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a short break because Pamela is here.
Yay.
And we'll be back right after this.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
here anymore.
What am I doing?
You like my song so much.
I'm all over the place here.
There's only room for one perfect person, Sam.
I suppose.
And I've already taken the job.
I'm losing it.
like a Sharon. Sherry shares.
All right, I guess is in the studio. Pamela, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Pamela Beatty, of course. And we've known each other for what? Probably over a year, huh?
Yeah, it's at least a year and a half.
Yeah, Pamela has been hosting the show with us, and she took a little hiatus, I suppose, for the book and everything.
I did, right? I did, yeah.
So you came out with a wonderful book. I mean, I started reading it. I didn't finish it. But obviously a pretty maybe controversial or curious title to it. It's called Why Am I F'd Up? And I've been asking myself that for years.
I've been asking that for a couple of months about you.
Yeah. Why is Sam F'd
right.
up?
I'm hoping, yeah, that's your question. I'm hoping you can answer for that for our listeners.
She wants to know. So when did the idea of the book come about?
You know, I first, I know it's going to sound funny, but I first saw the title in my head about 10 years ago. It just popped up in my head, and I went, oh, that's interesting. But the title came about because for the last, 18 plus years, I've worked with people. I'm an empathic intuitive. Mm-hmm. And so I've worked with people.
What does that mean?
Well, it's not just about intuition. It's about literally, you know, there's sympathy and empathy. Mm. Empathy means I literally feel it in my body. So if you have stomach problems, I automatically get stomach problems
really?
When you come to see me.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's and the more I have worked over the years with people, the more empathic I've become. So anytime, like, it's hard for me to go to parties and big events and stuff because I end up with headaches. And
yeah,
stuff.
You take out everybody's pain.
Wow, like
that's terrible. Yeah,
it
your,
is.
Your medicine cabinet must
I know.
Be stopped.
Yeah, I guess so. But so taking on that stuff and seeing all these clients, and the theme was always that was the first thing they said, you know, hey, Pamela, why in the world am I so effed up? I just, I don't understand it. So the title was based on clients and what they said to me, but it's also catchy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And people that normally wouldn't pick up like a self-help or a spiritual book will pick it up because of the title.
Yeah.
And that was kind of my goal, more so than anything else, I think, because I think there are a lot of people, and they're not all my clients either. They're people that, you know, normally wouldn't go and see someone like myself who, you know, they don't believe in intuition and stuff. And I wanted to target the book for them so that they could, you know, help see, get knowledge, you know, and knowledge is power.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. So this is a self-help book with a spiritual flavor to it.
Well, the subtitle is a spiritual guide to understanding the chaos in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think people are, like I said, knowledge is power. So I think people go around and they just live their lives the same every day, and they just accept that the chaos is there. And the worst part is they accept it's there because they think they're doing something wrong.
Right.
So I wanted to write this book to explain you're not doing something wrong.
Right.
It's the reason we incarnate in bodies is to have emotional knowledge. That's it. That's the only reason. Is so the soul gets emotional knowledge. Well, you can't get any emotional knowledge if everything is perfect in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So things have to... We were divinely designed for things to be effed up.
Right.
You know? Yeah. It's like, you know, so that you can grow. Like, oh, and think about how good you feel after you've overcome a hardship.
Mm-hmm.
You
right.
feel high almost.
Absolutely.
It's like, I made it through. I did it. Bravo for me.
Yeah.
Well, that's what the whole system is designed for. From
right.
And it doesn't really make, it's individual and the world itself. You know, it's not just for the individual. It's for all of us.
Right.
So the world, as the world grows and the world gets knowledge, then individuals get knowledge. As individuals grow, the world grows.
Right.
So,
right.
So you're saying things come up in your life so you can take out parts of those, your personality or stuff that you need to like work on.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the, you incarnate at a certain time so that you're a certain astrological sign to bring up those emotions. Because think of the idiosyncrasies of a certain sign, you know, like Aries are mental. I don't mean that in a bad way.
I'm like, thank God I'm not on Aries.
Let me say cerebral. instead of mental. Although I've met some that are a little mental.
Yeah.
And so you pick those signs so that you can grow you know, mm-hmm. emotionally. And things, bad things happen to people all the time. Mm-hmm. They're supposed to.
Yeah, right. Exactly. It's supposed to happen.
It's supposed to. Yeah. And it's
that's
about,
the meaning of life, probably, right?
It is. It
when,
really
when
is.
When people try to wonder, well, why are we
why
here, you
yeah.
know?
That's why you're
yeah.
here.
Yeah.
That's it.
And
emotional.
Like, you can't have the light without the dark and all that stuff.
Yeah, you can't know who you yeah. are till you know who you're not.
Right, exactly.
You know, and it's like you, that's why teenagers rebel. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like they're trying to, they choose parents because we choose them.
Right.
So they choose parents that are usually the complete opposite emotionally
right.
of what they are.
Right.
So that you can start off your life figuring out who you're not.
Uh-huh.
Right.
And then they're designed to rebel so that they go figure out who they are.
Right.
And then they realize they're just like their parents.
Yeah. Some of them do. Yeah. Yes, yes.
Yeah. And, yeah. And I would imagine, you know, it's like you try to... what am I trying to say? I don't know. I totally forgot.
Hold on.
Never
let me
mind.
Let me read your
yeah.
mind, Sam.
But, oh, I was...
Whoop, there's that chaos.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say that I think the soul picks the parents so they would help them learn what they're supposed to learn.
Well,
so if you get into a good situation, it may not help you learn the things you're supposed mm-hmm. to learn.
Right.
So, you know, so you might choose to have parents that will abandon you and all
yeah.
that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, because you have that lesson to learn.
Right, right. Because yeah. karmically, because I'm a firm believer in reincarnation and, you know, the you know, speaking spiritually, but the God that I know would never just give us one shot at it.
Right,
you know,
right.
that's just absurd to think that that would mm-hmm. happen that way. So it's not, you're bringing your pain in with you. It's not just, it doesn't just occur in your childhood. You bring it in with you.
I see. From the previous yeah. lives.
Yeah.
And basically all your experiences and all the people that you meet are all coming into your life so you can learn these lessons.
Well, yeah, and you've met them before.
Right.
There's
yeah.
no new karma. I mean, we've all been around for such a long time, and you've met them before, and there's been unresolved emotions, so you meet them again so you can resolve the emotions.
Right.
And it's like, oh, so you can feel better. I mean, it's all... Everybody thinks that karma is about, you know, you messed with somebody
things,
in
right.
one life, and so, boy, you're going to get it back.
Mm-hmm.
And... it's not. That's not what the system. That's not how the system was designed. That's kind of cruel and mean. And it's karma is all about the self.
Mm-hmm. So it's possible for karma to end. Meaning, like if you resolve a situation or something with someone, then your karma ends with somebody.
Well,
or does
it's
it continue?
You resolve. Technically, you resolve the situation with yourself.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's
gotcha.
Not really with someone else.
Gotcha.
We all think karma is about the other person, but the other person gives you the karmic opportunity.
Gotcha.
You
okay.
know, so it's about you feeling good about yourself and. You know, think about, even in this lifetime, think about your relationships, you know,
mm-hmm.
and especially for women, sorry, but with guys
mm-hmm.
that you broke up with
mm-hmm.
and you felt bad about it when you left. You just didn't like yourself because of the way you were in the relationship or maybe the way you weren't. And so that karma is still alive. And so in order to end the karma, you have to feel good about that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You have to feel good about yourself. You don't have to feel good about the other person. And so the only way to do that is look at the gifts of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is that why people repeat the same things over
oh,
and over
yeah.
again? Because they don't learn that lesson and it keeps showing up in their lives
yeah.
in different ways.
Yeah,
yep.
until you learn
yeah,
it, right?
Yeah,
and
right,
then you
yeah.
move on.
Yeah.
If you don't face it, it's still going to keep
yeah.
coming up.
Yeah,
you know,
totally.
you can't avoid it. You know,
yeah.
you can't bury the head in the sand. You know, it's you can't go into denial
uh-huh.
and fix it. And it's I think the biggest thing I want people to get from the book that is, yeah, the title is Why Am I Effed Up? But you're really not.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I think if you
right.
understand all of the reasons behind your life being in chaos, then it'll stop being in chaos and that you're effed up because you're supposed to be so you can get over
right.
being effed up.
So
right.
it's basically the way that you look at your life. Instead of looking at it as chaos, you look at it as opportunities to
yeah.
learn and to resolve and
yeah.
all that.
Because
right.
life's
yeah.
about perspective.
I agree.
Yeah.
Talk about that often.
You know, and,
yeah.
and that's not much different from, I think, the major religions in the world and stuff. I think they view that in the same way. You know, I mean, you come in here to, like in Judaism, for example, you come here to correct the soul, you know,
right.
to sort of like fix what's missing in that. So, and I know they have that in other, you know, in like
in
Eastern
other cultures,
religions
yeah.
and stuff
yeah.
like that, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, so I can totally relate to that. Now, you brought up like human nature. That's how you start the book and stuff. Can you discuss that a little bit?
Yeah. I think one of the reasons that our lives are in chaos is because of the importance that humans put on certain things, and they put the importance on the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like they'll put the importance on impressing other people. They'll put the importance on their job title, their car, their house, their, you know, how well they do in their career. But it's like one of the things, one of the lines in that you'll spend, you know, $50,000 a year on a car, but you won't spend a dime on the soul driving it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like human nature is to put the emphasis on the wrong thing. And so when you do that, and, you know, when you don't pay attention to what's really going on, your life is going to be effed up.
Yeah.
It's just going to be, because you're not looking at what's real. You're not paying attention to the right thing.
Yeah. Right. So, yeah, I mean, I find it hard to imagine that this whole creation happened just so we would make a lot of money.
Exactly. You know, right. And, thank you.
And have a couple cars and stuff like that.
It doesn't make sense.
It's not what it's all about.
I mean, it does. In your brain, common sense, it just doesn't make sense. My grandpa used to say common sense isn't all that common. And it doesn't make any sense that that's the creation. And I think that's another thing that messes with people. And it's another reason they're in chaos, is there's their determination of what the purpose of life is.
Right.
And the God that created the life. I mean, I think it's really hard for people to understand what the perspective of the God when God doesn't step in and save them.
Right.
And people are always waiting for that.
I just read something recently and I just loved it. It said that because everybody places their value, like their self-worth, on like things that they have, or when they wait for that job or get that perfect car, that perfect relationship. And it said, so you're saying that you are this person. Well, what happens when you don't have these things?
Yeah.
Does that mean you aren't anymore a valuable person?
It gives you the power. If something, you know, I tell my clients all the time, look, if something has the power to make you feel good about yourself, then it also has the power to make you feel bad about yourself.
Which is why people go up and down all the time.
That's why, you know? and they think that if they get, you know, it's like I think people push happiness away.
Uh-huh.
They set themselves up to have, okay, when I get that job, then I'll be happy.
Then they
get that job and they think, but I don't have that car that I wanted, so I can't be happy yet. So they keep pushing happiness away, and they can't ever just say, oh, wow, I'm happy right now.
Yeah.
Which happiness is a choice.
Right.
It's not based on external situations. It's a choice.
Yeah.
You can have it. Because, you know, you meet these people that their life is just a mess. You know, I have a client who has stage 4 cancer. Happiest person I know.
Right.
Really?
Yeah. Happiest person I know.
Whenever they show, like, seriously, like the third world countries and stuff, and people go out there and see them, they always say they're some of the happiest people you'll ever meet, because I think they have the opportunity in life to find out what's really important, that it isn't about the money and it isn't about the job.
Right.
It's about the love around you and the people around you. That's why you always see the biggest smiles on their faces. And
Yeah.
Absolutely. And that's the human nature.
Yeah.
Maybe I should say that's American nature.
Yeah.
I shouldn't put it all in human nature, but yeah.
Yeah, and sick people, you've got to find, you know, you have that time to find out what's really important, and they realize that it's none of that other external stuff.
Yeah.
And you know what I've noticed also is I think the biggest problems you have, the hardest thing for you to do, that's your lesson. That's where,
it
you
is.
Know.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's easy to identify it, I think. You know, just look at what's the hardest for you to do, you know.
I watch people. It's crazy because, like, you know, we were talking about Facebook a lot, and you see people's status updates, and it's always – I always know when someone's about to fall because I see them just go up and down. They're like, oh, I'm having, this is so exciting. I have the best life, da, 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 da. And then as soon as one little thing, I'm just like, I have the worst life. I have this, I have that. Instead of just realizing that these things come and go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they don't determine what your life is.
And it's supposed to be that way.
Right, exactly.
It's supposed to be.
So then you can appreciate it.
Yeah, it really is. And we have, I think, this unrealistic expectation that life is supposed to be glorious and happy all the time. Mm-hmm. And when it isn't, we think we're doing something wrong.
Right.
Mm. And that's just not the case.
Yeah.
Most of the time, if your life goes into the toilet, it's because you did something right. It's just the opposite of what we think.
Mm-hmm.
And your soul is like so excited. It's got this great opportunity
to
for
learn.
Growth.
Yeah, totally.
So it's like, yippee. And, you know, on the outside, your conscious mind is going, I suck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, I'm a terrible person. My life is bad. And the unrealistic expectation of that, you know, it's that promise of utopia.
Uh-huh.
And it's, oh, if I were good, if my life was good, then I would be a good person. And so my life is bad. Therefore, I must be a bad person. God must be punishing
me. That's true. I think people do think that way.
They do.
Yeah.
And it's just not true.
Yeah.
It's just not how things were set up to be. And have you ever met anybody that's life is perfect?
No.
That doesn't have some kind of crap going on? It's just, so
it's
I
universal.
Believe in an, I, it is, and yeah. I don't believe, I believe in a God that is all-knowing and all-loving and doesn't have a need to interfere. because God's perspective is it's all good.
Yeah.
God's like, oh, look at them grow.
Uh-huh.
You know,
right.
Woo-hoo! They're growing like crazy now.
Exactly.
So why? And I think when people say, why doesn't God step in? Mm-hmm. I think the answer to that is because God doesn't have to.
Yeah, and he's not supposed to.
He's not supposed to. You have that power. So what do you need God to do that for?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so why would anybody need to step in? And God's excited. Like, wow, they're really growing, you know, especially right now.
Yeah.
God's throwing a party. You know, in life right now, because we got so much crap going on.
Yeah.
So, and I think the reason that that happens, you know, is because I believe we're all one, so everybody's connected to everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we all know that the things and the way we're living our lives right now isn't right. And I think when we get to those times in life where, as a group consciousness, we know things are wrong, you know, for us, we know things aren't the way they should be, then to me, it's indicative that we're all getting ready for this huge change.
I agree. Mm-hmm. Completely. Yeah.
Because it's like,
well,
really
shifting. I've seen the shift.
Absolutely.
It's exciting to see that.
It is exciting. Mm-hmm. And it's all about perspective.
Yeah.
You can look at it and go, wow, we are so effed up right now. The world is just a mess. Or you can go, ooh, we must be really getting ready to grow and change.
Right.
It is an exciting time.
Spiritually,
I've seen it happen spiritually too. Speaking.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe not financially speaking, but spiritually speaking, it is.
So now, is the soul ever complete? I mean, does it get to a point where it just doesn't need to come back anymore?
I think you settle on that, yes. I think that there are some souls that go, you know, I can learn, because you can learn whether you're in a body or whether you're out of body.
Mm.
It's not just about when you're in a body. And there are, you get to this level of, okay, I think I've done enough on that, you know, in that level of awareness. I think I've done enough. I think I've grown enough. But it's, there's no, okay, I'm only at level 5 vibration, so I need to go back. There's nobody making the rules. It's you.
Mm-hmm.
So you may get to where, you know, I don't think I really want to. It's like, I've determined that I don't want to.
Right.
Yeah. I've already decided. I've done enough here. I'm ready to just
So it's not something we have to do. It's our...
No, we choose
our
it.
Our decision.
Yeah, you
but
know...
maybe that's something they need to work on, because they're a quitter.
Yeah.
I think I've had enough.
Yeah.
Good.
No, and it's about acceptance. It's like, you know, I think I've gotten all I could get out of the physical experience.
Yeah.
So now I'm just going to go have, you know, the soul experience, which is an opportunity to grow as well. You know, when you leave the body, you take... Obviously, you take the soul with you, and it's the level. There are 7 layers of existence. There are 7 layers of awareness in the soul. And so when you leave the body, whatever level of awareness you're at there, that's the level of awareness, you know.
That your soul takes?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's like if you're Charles Manson or someone that's really, you know, emotionally a mess, when you leave here... It's not a relief. People think it is, but you still have to face... It's all about facing yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when you leave the body, there's a literally a council that you go and sit in front of, and it's not a judgment council. It's a, well, so, Sherry, how'd you think? What do you think you did? How do you... You know, how can we help you?
Mm-hmm.
But it's not, geez, Sherry, you really messed up, girlfriend. You know,
you are effed up.
Back to hell with you.
Right.
And it's like it's not like that. It's a loving group of people that sit there, and a loving group of souls, and talk to you about what you experienced and what you'd like to experience, like what you missed, and then you decide, oh, I either want to go back, or, and then you hang out in spirit for a while, and I either want to go back or I want to, you know, move on to that next level of awareness. And the coolest thing to me about the other side was that process that nobody judges, because my dad was a Baptist minister. I was taught God pretty much judges.
Uh-huh.
and so the cool thing to me is after you go through the council, then you go hang out. The spirit planes or the spirit's levels of awareness are all the same. So... Like if I'm a vibrating at a 6, let's say, everybody that I'm with on the other side are all 6s. So
no one's better than anybody else.
No, everybody's at the same level of awareness. Uh-huh. So there's this camaraderie, there's this beautiful feeling, but it works the opposite too. If, you know, you're a very low vibrational energy, you're going to hang out with really low vibrational energies. So
see, Sam, you are lucky to be around me. We are high.
Yeah,
You're not peeps.
Better than me.
You're with your peeps, right? Yeah. And when you don't have a body, you're still with your peeps. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, how do you know that, Pamela?
My question.
I mean, you're talking about the council and everything.
Yeah.
How do you know that?
Personal experience. It's, you know, I've done past life regressions for years, and I've also hypnotized people into the afterlife, which to me it is life. This is experiences more than life. But so I've done it myself years ago, about 20 years ago. I had a woman regress me back to when in between lives, and I regress people to in between their lives, like, you know, before they had this one,
uh-huh,
and after this one, or before they had their last one and to the life right before this one.
Right.
And it's I know that I don't know what their experiences are. So when they have them and I see it at the same time, I know that it's the truth. Mm. It's experiential. You know, I'm not just making this stuff up and I'm not reading it in a book.
Mm-hmm.
I've experienced it.
Mm.
And consistently they go back to the council. Like, I'll take them to their last lifetime, and then I will tell them to leave the body and go to, you know, to the afterlife, and ask them, where are you? And I'm sitting in front of a group of people.
Wow.
I mean, it's consistent. So that's what made me believe it. It's not I read it in a book somewhere, or, you know, I'm sure you've heard about the council and stuff. But
right.
A little bit. I just remember years ago when I first heard about past lives, it was by the author who wrote Many Lives, Many Masters.
Yeah, Brian Weiss.
Yeah. I was really young, and my sister was just like thrown into it, and like just,
yeah.
And so I've been intrigued by it over the years, by past lives. And
it's fascinating, and it's part of why we're, you know, effed up. It's the past life and the karma and what we bring into this body and what we want to fix and the people we want to heal, mm-hmm, you know? And it just makes sense to me.
Right.
You know, my common sense says, like this huge opportunity to do-overs.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like, wow, I don't just get one shot at this. You know, my family really believe that.
Yeah.
That, you know, you die and you either go to heaven or hell.
Right.
Yeah.
This is hell.
Yeah.
I always hear that. You make your own hell.
You do.
You know,
hell
one
is
of
a
my,
state of mind.
One of my favorite films is Defending Your Life.
I love that
you
movie.
You see, because it has to do so much with that. It's with Meryl Streep and what's his name?
Oh, I knew I was going to go blank on this.
Yeah. It'll come up in a minute.
Yeah, it's when you stop thinking about
tongue.
It and it comes up. Yeah.
And but this is about, you know, people dying, and then they go in front of a council and everything. And
you have to defend your life.
Yeah, you defend your life. You have to explain why you did, you know, this and that. You know, it's not about punishment. It's about deciding whether you go to the next level or not.
Well, did you see, though, in the movie, it's all about his fears?
Yes.
It's what he, like, well, is that good or is
Albert
that bad?
Albert Brooks,
yeah.
Right.
It's like, is that good or is that bad?
Yeah.
And he goes, well, shouldn't I be afraid? And it's all about his fear.
Yeah.
You know, when he overcomes his fear to go jump on the train with her, then he moves on.
Yeah, that's true. That's exactly what happens.
Yeah.
And you got to watch it because it's funny as hell.
Yeah. Oh, it's funny.
Yeah,
oh,
it's
my
really
God,
funny.
It's hilarious.
And it makes you think. It really does, you know?
Yeah, I don't like thinking.
No? Okay.
It's highly overrated.
Right?
Thinking so overrated.
Oh, it's exhausting.
Been there, done that.
It's so exhausting.
Yeah.
Well, I am fortunate. I don't have that problem.
You just are.
I don't have to think. Yeah.
Wow. So how long have you been doing this for a living? I mean, helping people out and stuff.
I've been doing it, let's see, professionally probably 15 years. Non-professionally most of my life.
I was going to ask, so was it just something that just came to you? Like, I mean, how did you embrace it?
Well, you know, it took me a long time. It was really very difficult because when I was a kid, I saw spirits from probably day one, you know. I mean, I you know, all kids have those imaginary playmates, but, you know, I saw everybody's.
Wow.
I didn't just see my own, you know. It was like
a party.
Yeah, it was. It was always a party. But as a kid, I didn't. It was confusing to me because nobody else talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I couldn't understand. It's like I saw him and I said something about, well, it's because he's standing right there. And they'd go, that's awful. That's the devil. You know, to me, it was the devil. And so after a while of saying, well, it's because he's saying this to me, and them, you know, punishing me for talking to the devil, you have a tendency to kind of think, wow, that must be bad. So
mm-hmm.
I just thought everyone should be able to see what I thought they saw it, and they just didn't talk about it, you know. So I didn't know that nobody else saw it. I thought they all saw it. They just didn't say it. And then because of the religion, the religious aspect of my family, it was the devil. So imagine a little kid, how fearful you would be if, I don't see him. I, you know, no hearing the three monkeys, that would mean. And imagine the fear of that, thinking, you know, well, the devil's after my soul. And they said, oh, the devils can take on any form. So, you know, all
you
of these.
Everything you saw.
And then when, I think it really hit me when my mom died. Because when my was about 12, I guess, 12, 14 when my mom died. And they were all at the hospital with her. She had cancer, and then they all came home, and the kids were there. And they came in, and they were all somber, and they said to us, your mother just died. And I just remember thinking, that's so weird. And everybody else was crying, right? And I was just sitting there, and I looked over, and I saw her standing beside me. And they said, what's wrong with you? Why aren't you crying? Your mother just died. And I went, no, she didn't. She's right here. She didn't die. She just changed forms. Well, I was 12, 14 years old.
Wait, so how did you see her, if you don't mind? Like, do you see them, like, in exactly in their same form that they are?
See them energetically. Sometimes they will show me certain physical aspects of themselves. Like, if there's something very unique about them, then they'll show me that physical. I don't need to see them physically. At the time, I saw my mother physically, and I can, sometimes they will reveal themselves physically, but mainly I feel them.
Right.
Because I'm so empathic. So I know they're there, and then if someone needs confirmation, I'll say, well, do you know somebody that used to wear, a derby hat all the time? You know, then they'll do something and show me something, so the other person knows that, oh, that was my grandfather. You know what I mean? But for me, I don't need to see a physical form. I just need to feel them.
I understand that, because there was one, when my grandmother passed, the night after she passed, it was the only time it's ever happened to me. I was sleeping on the couch because we had family in town, and I felt her sit down next to me and play with my hair, but I didn't see her, just felt all her energy. I smelled her, all of it.
You don't have to see them.
And you just know that they were there. It was, crazy. But I can't imagine feeling that all the time.
Are you
able to turn it on and off, or it's just like,
you
I mean,
know, I used to be able to, for years that I did this, when I wasn't working, I could ignore it unless someone, there are some pretty powerful spirits and they won't let you ignore them. Yeah. They'll go, excuse me, tapping you on the shoulder.
That'll be me.
Yeah, that's true.
Excuse me.
I'm here.
Yeah. Like, you're ignoring me. I don't like it. Yeah. And so there's sometimes that they won't, but I used to turn it off for years and then, I'd be okay. And because I've been doing it for so many years, my defenses are really down right now. So I have to be very careful how many people I see. It's very limited right now because it's just exhausting. And because I'm so empathic.
Oh, you take on all that. Wow.
Yeah. And so it's really hard. I have to be careful, even when I hug people.
Mm-hmm. Oh, do you feel all that? Yeah.
Yeah.
Really? God, that's so weird. I'm wondering how many people are in this room with us right now. do people have spirit guides?
How many people
and stuff?
Do you want to be in the room with you?
Three really hot guys.
At least.
So your spirit guides are hot, is what you're saying.
Always.
Okay.
But there is such a thing as spirit guides.
No, there really are. And it's so interesting because everybody always says, what's the name of my spirit guide? And they never tell me their names because they really don't have them, technically.
Right.
They have them for us.
Yeah, as a human thing.
So sometimes they'll energetically wink at me and say, tell them my name is John. Oh, okay, John. That's their name.
Right.
And then they'll just think it's so funny that, we humans have to. Because, when your friends call you up, you recognize their voice. You recognize their energy. They don't have to say, hi, I'm your friend.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So it's the same way with spirit guides. But everybody usually has, on the average, I'm going to say average. There's no set thing in stone of five people around them all the time. And not always. And you have one main spirit guide that helps you to choose the body that is there for you.
He's fired.
Yeah.
Chose this body.
Yeah.
What's that about?
Yeah, blame the spiritual guy.
Yeah.
Well,
you know what? I can't lose weight because of my spirit guide.
Yeah.
He just wants me in this body. I have lessons to learn.
He made me eat.
Yeah, absolutely.
Get that Whopper out of my hand.
Yeah. And they put it in my hand, too.
They,
oh, my God. That's amazing.
They must be related.
Yeah. They must be brothers or something. That's what it is.
I'm so blaming them.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's human nature. That's what we do. It must be your fault because I feel terrible. But there's funny. Usually five. So there's your main man, the one that's with you all the time. And then there's the others come and go based on your needs. So okay. If you're going to school, you're going to have scholars hang out with you. Uh-huh. You know, if you're a nurse, you're going to have a past nurse that's going to help you. So it's based on what you're doing at the time, and they switch in and out all the time.
Oh, okay, so they don't stay with you your whole life?
No.
Except
the main one, usually.
The main man.
Yeah, the main one, yeah. And then sometimes, you know, when you're...
I love this stuff. Forever.
Me too.
Because I've read books.
So let's have a marathon. Just call everybody. Tell them they're off for the day, Sam. Tell them they don't get to do their show.
Like, I have like a zillion questions.
That Sherry and I are taking over.
Well, he already knows that.
Well, people have been calling in, but I didn't want to interrupt you.
Oh, no, please. Don't worry about that.
So can you see her invisible soulmate? I mean, she claims she has one. She goes on the roof and looks for him.
Well, no, I was called up there like a couple of weeks ago.
You were called to the roof?
Yeah, I didn't know what it was at the time. I woke up like at 4:30 in the morning and I was like, I should go watch the sunrise. And I just went up there to watch the sunrise and I felt that I had communication. All I heard and felt was somebody saying that I'm coming home and just to wait for him. Because I've been opening up myself up to love.
Yeah, to love.
And so I felt like we really had a conversation.
Well, I have to say he's really close. I'm surprised you don't know him already.
Oh,
he's with, because I think you what that you already do.
Because
he's right there, and it's like he's not even. I don't even feel him 1 degree of separation away. It's like, you know, it's like if you knew somebody that knew him, that mm-hmm. knew somebody that knew him. You know that 4 degrees of separation mm-hmm. thing. But I feel him really close, like already within your butt.
He's in my butt.
Yeah, butt.
He's in her butt?
Not yet.
Oh, okay. He's getting there.
He's working his way up
only
to that.
Only if he's Asian. We really said
he's working his way up to that, I said, or down to that. I'm not sure which way you put that. I'm not
I need to hear this. I like have the chills right now because I really feel like he's close too.
He's very close. And it's just, and I don't even know for sure because what they're showing me is that, you know, you're in the middle of a circle and then he is right outside that circle. So he's right there. As I'm getting goosebumps too. He's right there and it's just a matter of, I don't think he's quite ready.
Yeah. So now,
I don't think
you have
got
a soul
to do with you. I don't think he's quite ready.
So, I mean, if you have a soulmate, are you supposed to hook up with them? I mean,
soulmates is an interesting term to me because I think people misconstrue mm-hmm. what it means. It's like, look, there's no one person. There just isn't.
Right.
There's one person that would be an easier life for you, but there's no one person. I don't believe in a God that would just give us one person to love.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that in that term, that's why because most people think soulmate, that means there's only one.
Right. And it has to be a romantic one, right?
Well, you two are soulmates. You know what I mean?
Right, no, and I feel like there's multiple soulmates, but for different reasons. Like, you can have, like, a family member that's a soulmate, a friend, but for me, and maybe it's my idealistic, I just feel like for romance and for love, there is that part of me that, you know, even you had a quote by Aristotle in here that I loved about the two bodies.
Yeah.
You know, but one heart. Like, that's what I feel.
Yeah.
That's what I feel that's out there.
Well, he's real. Listen, Jerry, I can tell you this. He is so close, I can feel him. Like, I feel I feel goosebumps on my left arm because I feel like he's...
That's where I had mine.
Okay. That's, because I'm getting, like, it's... And usually when spirits talk to me, I'm usually on their right side. They're on my creative side. But for some reason, he's right. My whole left side got tingly because he's that close. You know, it's, and the only reason he's not, I can tell you the reason he's not here yet.
Okay.
Okay. Oh God, this is going to make me cry. Sorry.
No, it's because I'm already, my eyes are watering already too. You hush.
He doesn't believe it's possible. He doesn't believe that kind of love is possible. So his childhood experiences have shown him that it's not. So it's convinced him. So he's honestly not looking. Mm-hmm. And that's why he'll find you. Because he's not looking. He doesn't want a soulmate. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want a person. Doesn't want a partnership. He totally believes it's not possible.
That sounds like a lot of work.
but it ends up not being, and that's the beauty of it. Listen, sometimes it is a lot of work, but it ends up not being because he's not looking. So technically, he's in the right frame of mind.
So then when it hits him.
Yeah, technically, he's in the right frame of mind for it. Mm-hmm. But most people would look at it and say, oh, he's not. But he is because he's not looking.
You know, that's when you find love. Yeah, well, I've always said this, and you might think it's because, you know, I think the world, like, it's Sherry world. But I always feel like the love that I'm going to have, and I always say this, and I've felt it my whole life, is going to go down in history books, meaning, like, it's going to be a love of a lifetime, like a great love story for the world. Like, I feel it.
You've been reading too much Shakespeare.
You better shut your mouth.
Well, you know, I can tell you why you feel that, if it helps you to understand. Because, like I said, knowledge is power, so understanding why. And that's because in most other incarnations, your soul's goal was to go through and just have karmic relations. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't important to you to have that one true, you know, knock you down to the floor kind of love. Mm-hmm. And you would just, like, you had a, every single time you came into the body, you had this massive checklist of people you wanted to run into. Like, I want to finish this. I want to finish this. So in this lifetime, you'd finished most of them. So for your soul, this lifetime is about finding one. You had a few that you wanted to run into again just so you could walk away from them. Mm-hmm. Not stay with them, just so you could walk away. And you had a few of those. But for your soul, I mean, I see both of your souls right before you come into the body. And it's, you're both really excited, like, hey, we're finally going to incarnate together. Mm-hmm. And it's really about...
That's why it's of a lifetime.
Let's do it now.
Right.
Now is like, okay, let's do it. Mm-hmm. So he's...
such a giddy little girl inside right now.
Yeah, that's good.
She's hearing what she wants
well, because
to hear,
I feel like in this lifetime,
giddy
I feel
good.
Like that I've just released, like that I'm just open now. Like there's, I don't have to do. I just have to be.
You've still got some judgment left inside you, though.
Of myself, you mean, or
yes,
of others?
Ma'am.
Yes,
or
I know.
Yourself.
I know.
You've got to get over that. Yeah, and because you want him to come quicker? That's how you do it.
I know.
Because here's the thing. He has to see you when he meets you. Mm-hmm. And he's not going to if you don't get rid of your judgment of you. Because, you know, we project our own thoughts onto other people. Mm-hmm. So you don't want that. So if you really want him and you really believe he's out there, you need to spend the next, I would say, 2 months really hardcore looking at what makes you feel bad. What makes you cry? What makes you unhappy? What makes you angry? It's like every time somebody pisses you off, I want you to look at it and go, ooh, thanks. Okay.
You're so funny because I'm never in touch with those unhappy, anger emotions.
You're afraid of them.
I just let them go.
Yeah. Ignorance is not bliss. You got to look at them. Uh-huh. You can't be afraid to see, you know, we have two choices with fear. Face it or run from it.
Right.
So just stop, turn around and go, what? What do you want? Uh-huh. Okay, so I got pissed off. What?
Yeah.
And just look at it. Like, what's the source of it? You cannot heal until you find the source. And you can find the source in this lifetime, not in all the others.
Okay.
But you're really pissed off at somebody and you need to work at it.
Sam?
It's not Sam. It came along way before Sam. You know who you're really angry at.
Do you?
I mean, probably. Psychological. No, but I mean, honestly, the psychological side of me that knows psychology, like, can try to figure it out. But I feel like that I've known that.
No, I need you to feel it out, not figure it out. Mm-hmm. Like, ooh, that pissed me off. Why did it piss you off?
Right.
Like, what about that? And make it all about you. When somebody else does something stupid, and that kind of happens a lot.
Yeah.
I know myself. I do stupid stuff every day.
But you know what it is? I find forgiveness in them. Like, I forgive because I realize that we're all human. And so then I don't want to carry around that anger. You know?
No. I'm not saying. But you got to look at it.
Yeah.
You can't just go, you know, oh, that's okay. I forgive you. It's not about forgiving them. It's about forgiving you. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's they're pissing you off for a reason.
Right.
To stir some emotion within you so you can look at it. And you just keep ignoring it.
Right.
And you got to look at why. Because, you know, on the outside, you seem like a perfectly nice person to me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But you got to figure out why what's the trigger and what causes the trigger?
Uh-huh.
What causes you to be unhappy? What do people say to you that makes you unhappy? Like when they say something and all of a sudden, you know, when your chest tightens up or your stomach knots up, and that's a sign there's something wrong.
Right.
So don't look at the other person and go, ooh, what'd you just trigger in me?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I often say that out loud to people. It's like if they say something and I start getting mad and I go into this little zone and they'll look at me and go, what? And I went, I'm just trying to figure this out. What? Well, I'm figuring out if I have an issue and that's why that what you said just pissed me off, or if you're just an asshole. You know, it's like
blame them.
It's talking out loud. Well, no, yeah. And sometimes they are just assholes,
right.
and other times it's an emotional opportunity for you, and you're ignoring the emotional opportunities that are being provided for you, and if you stop ignoring them and just look at them, then bam, he comes.
So you think that cheerfulness and everything, that positiveness, may be hiding some fears as well? Because she's like overly happy. Excessively.
But is she really?
No.
I mean, are you really internally happy, or is it kinda denial? You know, and I think for the most part you are, and that's fantastic. But it's the stuff you're not happy about. We all have them. I've worked on myself. I've been on my own therapist couch for years.
Yeah.
And last week, some major, major shit came up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's supposed to.
Yeah.
We're always supposed to be looking at our soul while we're supposed to be growing. And it's not the happiness. There's nothing wrong with your happiness. It's what you've got to start looking at what you're not happy about.
Yeah.
What makes you unhappy? Because
what happens if you don't get unhappy a lot? What are you looking at? I'm not, you know, like.
So if I walk up to you and go, good God, what's wrong with your hair? Does that bother you? And there's nothing wrong with your hair, by the way. That's why I chose it. There's nothing wrong with your hair.
Right.
But if somebody insults you, does it bother you? Does it make you unhappy? Does it make your stomach hurt? Does it feel like a knife in your heart?
Right.
Well, then you're ignoring it.
Right.
And that's not, you want them to say, that's the thing. We want people to say things to us that hurts us, because that's how we find out what's wrong.
But doesn't that sound like you're inviting this into your life? Like you're inviting
pain? You are inviting pain. You're going to have it anyway. You're going to have it. So you either are in control of it. I mean, you're going to have pain.
Right.
Right?
Life, yeah.
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 So if you look at it, your perspective is, oh, goody.
Uh-huh.
Somebody just stirred something in me. Oh, goody. Okay. I get to look at it.
Uh-huh.
With a little kid excitement, then you have less pain.
Right.
It comes up less often because you're in charge. You're in control of it.
Maybe if we knew the name of my soulmate, when I meet him, I can act confident.
Even if I knew the name, I wouldn't tell.
Yeah. But you know, I mean, the thing is, I don't think you're supposed to, you know, because it's all about,
I know.
Yeah, because it seems like that's why we don't also know the people that we need to meet again and stuff.
Right.
You don't really know who it's going to be, you know, because if you do, then the whole deal is off type of a thing, you know?
Well, yeah, people say to me, God, it must be so great to be you because you always know what's going to happen. I never know what's going to happen. I don't want to. It's like, what kind of fun would that be in life?
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's like an adventure, right? And if you know how the ride ends, who the hell would care? Why would I stay? It's like, okay, I'm out of here now. I was like, there's no point. You're not supposed to know.
Yeah.
And you're not supposed to know their name. I mean, when people say, I can tell you what he feels like, I could probably... No, I can't. Okay. I started to say I could probably tell you where you'll meet him, but they just said, oh, no, you can't tell her that.
Okay.
So this is supposed to be, look, you've waited a long time for the guy to show up.
Many years.
And you've known it and expected it. Why in the hell would Spirit pull that rug out from under you and go, on Tuesday at 5 p.m.
Because I'd look good that day.
Yeah. And you know what?
My best dress.
The beauty, it won't make any difference.
I know. I'll probably meet him when I'm in a baseball cap. Makeup on.
Baggy sweatpants. Yeah.
I'll be like, damn it. That's not part of my love
that's
story.
That's self-esteem. If you feel good about yourself. And he's going to see you that way anyway. So how great to start it off that way.
That's true.
So you see, there is hope, Sherry.
Thank you, Sam. Thank you.
No, there definitely is. He's really close.
Yeah. That day I knew that. I have not felt it my whole life. I mean, I knew that eventually would come, but that day, for whatever reason that I went to the roof, was the first time that I felt it, that he was on his way.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he is.
Cool.
Awesome.
Knight in shining armor. Right
on
the white horse.
No, I didn't say that.
Yeah, there's never that.
No.
He doesn't need to save me.
No. No. You can do that all by yourself.
I'm working on it.
So your book is Why Am I Effed Up? I noticed that it's just available now on Amazon.
It is. And Barnes and Noble. I'm so excited.
Congratulations.
Yeah. I was just like a little kid at Christmas. You know, because I knew it was going to be up there, but I didn't know when. They said, you know, it'll take probably a month or two, sometimes anywhere from 2 to 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. And so I was just like, yeah, whatever. And I was talking to a friend of mine. She said, hey, when's it going to be on Barnes and Noble? I went, I don't know. And I was just talking to her on the phone. I got online and there it was. Wow. And I went, oh my God, it's only been a week and a half. I'm on Barnes and Noble.
That's awesome.
Oh, it was great. It's you know, it took so long for me to write this thing.
Yeah, I'm sure. It's finally like, you know, you're bearing the fruit.
Yeah.
What I wanted to ask you is, how long did it take you to write the book?
A little over 2 years.
2 years, huh?
Yeah. Wow. I mean, it wasn't a constant. I didn't work on it every single day, right. But it took me, you know, there were certain times fear overtook me, and I couldn't write. I mean, there were times when, and I gained like 15 pounds, and, you know, it's sabotage, or what I call the protector, you know, the subconscious mind was so afraid, because in so many other lifetimes I've been persecuted for beliefs and I've always been controversial. Yeah, I love that challenge.
That's fun.
I'm the one of those burned at the stake kind of women. Yeah. You know, it's like, yeah, just crucify me. Go ahead.
Wow, I can actually see that.
The interesting
type.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I like a challenge.
Yeah.
And so this book was really a challenge for my ego. Mm. I mean, it was huge because, you know, as a little kid, my father always said, you know, you're never going to amount to anything because you're too stupid. So for me to overcome those fears to put words on paper was huge for me. It was huge. It was terrifying. And even publishing the book, terrifying. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was like, oh my God, people are going to read what I say. And it was just like, and again, I gained weight after I finished it because, you know, this, my soul is so afraid of being seen, you know, air quotes. It doesn't want to be seen, so it feels it's safer if it puts on a few pounds.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was 2 years, and every day I hated it.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
So I'm stuck on, like, the dad thing, so it's almost like you needed that experience of, like, your dad having to say those things, so then you can get to doing this. That was, like, part of your, like, journey.
It was part
like
of my
that.
Journey.
Yeah.
Whether I believe, and, you know, we got to be careful whose opinion we value.
Right. don't they always say, like, your opinion is none of my business?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, Sam,
yeah,
keep it to yourself.
And it's, you know, and then people are going to be that way, and my father was that way, and, you know, I think, and I really truly believe this, that my father gave me the greatest gifts ever with his, the way he was about God and religion was so against my core belief, and he was, you know, he'd preach on Sunday morning and then beat his kids up on Sunday night, and that, and he would talk about God and who God was, and that God only talked to men, and especially, you know, men, and not, and certainly not little girls. I mean, women alone. Mm-hmm. But, and he just taught me who God wasn't.
Yeah.
You know, and then that made me a seeker. You know, that made me want to go out and find out what my truth was, because I knew that those things weren't my beliefs. So, even though he was a horribly evil person. He gave me the greatest gifts in life. He gave me the greatest opportunity.
Attitude of gratitude.
Yeah.
It's about, like, where someone else would be like, I had the worst father and this and that and negative. No. Like, she sees, like, the good in it and what came out and was grateful for what he did teach her.
It took a long time for me to find the gift. I knew there was one in there.
Yeah.
But it was just like, it wasn't in my reality. I couldn't see it. And I never, you know, for years, I got away from my family completely. You know, I don't really communicate with them. I have a sister that I just recently started emailing, but we hadn't talked in like 10, 12 years. And the reason is I wanted to walk away from them because they were so opposite of me. And I knew I'd never find me unless I got away from them.
Right. Okay, well, we're running out of time, Pamela. Tell people how they...
Oh, my God, that's too quick.
Let people know how they can get a hold of you.
Well, they can get a hold of me with... go to my webpage at PamelaBeatty.net, and there's a place you can... It'll give you all the information, and I like people to email me. It's the easiest way to set up a session, and that's at Pamela at PamelaBeatty.net, And you can buy the books, as you so nicely said, on Barnes & Noble and Amazon.com.
Definitely. Beatty's with one T.
Yes, Beatty is with one T. Thank you.
And I did want to thank you for mentioning LA Talk Radio right on the back of the book.
On the back of the book.
Yes, amazing.
Yeah,
amazing.
I put it on the back of the book.
To thank you for that.
You're welcome. Awesome. Well, it was and I hope to get back here someday. It's such a wonderful experience to be on the air.
Well, we love having you here, of course.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for coming in. Always fun to have around.
I could talk to her forever.
It's nice to be seeing you.
Well, maybe you can come back sometime.
I would love it anytime, you guys. It's been fun.
Wonderful. Okay, and Sherry, it's Friday.
It is. Have a great full day.
Yeah.
and a weekend. Great weekend.
And you have a lot of fun with your friends.
I will, thank you.
Okay, bring back a lot of stories.
Of course I will.
And you're going to bring both of them on Monday.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So we're going to have a lot of action here on Monday. Don't forget, and we'll see you next week.
All righty.
Have been listening to Sam and Sherry in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 9 a.m. till 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you have a question or comment for the show, please direct all correspondence to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Sherry in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.